Look, one of surprise, really, because it seems slightly baffling that he would target community gardens as a biosecurity and food safety threat. Really, when he's talking about the scale of food production that happens on community gardens, you're also targeting home gardeners as well. It's exactly the same scale. And it's an interesting thing that he would really hone in on that as a threat to our nation's food supply, when we've always grown food at home, we've always grown food in community spaces, and that happens on a range of scales and it has a lot of different people involved. And it's a very amazing learning environment. So people are learning how to grow food, learning where their food comes from. It's critically important to being connected with our food system.
Does he have a point, though, that whether it's community gardens or whether it's backyard food, there is a threat from biosecurity to commercial farms that might be infested? He mentioned white flies, thrips.
Yeah, he did mention some things, but I can't think of one example of a community garden with a direct threat to a commercial farm. I'll be very interested to hear about one. Usually community gardens are in urban centres. Usually larger farms are in rural centres. There's not such a close geographical relationship.
He talked about the risk of community gardens adding to an already oversupply situation.
So that just blows me away. So in Australia, only 1.7% of our population are actual farmers. The average age of an Australian farmer is mid-50s and they're retiring. They are asking, where are our younger farmers? That's a major, major question. And it's everybody knows that working in the sector. So urban agriculture, which includes community gardens and home-scale food production, is an amazing in for people to start learning about small-scale farming. And I've been involved in this sector for over 10 years, and it's often the first step to becoming a rural farmer. It is a community garden contact. So it is a critical touch point for starting that conversation where our food comes from and how can you be involved in making that food system stronger and local.
Mm. Hannah, this conversation came about because the funding was axed. The funding did come under the National Food Plan. Mm. Do you think there's scope to do both, to keep doing the sorts of things that AusVeg wants to do in developing export markets for the commercial sector, but at the same time as promoting an urban food industry?
Look, it has to be. That's our current reality. It would be a silly person to say we shouldn't be involved in the export market. We live in a global economy. We have to participate as a global participant, basically. However, we need to make sure that Australia, as every single other country should do, we have a strong local regionalised food system. That means that we can supply all our diverse and nutritious needs to ourselves first, then we provide to other people. Part of that is having that conversation of what does a community food system look like? And that looks like many, many different things. It includes community gardens, but it branches out to a broad range of elements depending on where you are.
As a part of the creation of the National Food Plan, the federal government held the hearings around Australia, including in Tasmania. Now we've got the creation under the coalition of the White Paper. Again, they came to Tasmania just recently. Mm. What are your thoughts? Have you made submissions to the White Paper?
Look, I must admit, I personally haven't. I was very involved in the National Food Plan applications and submissions, very involved and in that kind of consultation process. I have some reservations about how effective the White Paper might be, and I actually chose not to participate and to actually take other actions in terms of engaging our community and having the conversations, in doing things like the Food for Thought gathering, for example, and actually learning how to engage with how to do local food systems.
Mm. You're tuned to the Tasmanian Country Hour. We're having a conversation with Hannah Maloney, a local food advocate, and we'll talk more in a moment about the Food for Thought program, which is on in Tasmania later this month. But what were your reservations about the White Paper for agricultural competitiveness?
Look, I just think there's a lot of gaps in terms of what aren't we addressing, what aren't we asking questions about. And so I've only done thorough skim reads of the draft, but I go, where is the attention towards building a local food economy? And that's for rural farmers and for small-scale peri-urban farmers and for even, you can say, urban farmers as well. There's some really missing the gaps about how to build a local food system first and then a global economy second in terms of our food industry.
Do you think they compete? Do you think a local food movement competes with the farming, the commercial farm sector?
Not at all. It should never be an us and them relationship. It should be a partnership. It's like, how can we work together? Traditionally, townships would have both urban growers and rural growers working hand in hand, where urban growers would grow all the perishable fruits and vegetables in their home or community gardens, and the rural farmers would grow all the proteins, the dairies, the meats and the grains. And there was a trade, and there was a barter system. There was also just markets where you would buy and sell. And that's you know, it's ideal to think that we can return to that, but it's an interesting model that we can actually draw on to bring back into some kind of reality.
Interesting, and that's probably a precursor to the conversation that you're hosting in Tasmania later this month. As you mentioned, you're one of the organisers of a Food for Thought. It's a national community garden gathering. Is this the conversation that's being had around Australia, this conversation that we're just having now?
Yeah, look, and it's been happening for years, literally, but it's becoming more and more prominent. People are very much getting more and more engaged in this conversation because they can see that the disconnection between themselves and where their food comes from is increasing through a large range of reasons. So these kinds of gatherings are really attractive to people to come together to touch base with food and touch base with other networks from around Australia really working on developing good food systems.
Now, you've got some pretty big names coming to this conference. Can you whet our appetite about where they're going to take our conversations?
Great. So we're lucky enough to have Costa coming down. Of course, you can't have a community garden conference without Costa.
Host of ABC Gardening Australia.
That's right. That's the one. We've also got some really great people from Melbourne. Peter Christensen from Cultivating Community, who are very much Australia's peak body in urban agriculture. And alongside that, we've got Chris Ennis from Ceres Community Environment Park in Melbourne, who are one of the best examples of urban agriculture in Australia, full stop, and one of the first, actually. Alongside that, we've got Dr. Nick Rose, who comes from the Australian Food Sovereignty Alliance, who really brings a very strong food politics angle to this conversation, similar to what we've been talking about. Some other attractions are Kirsten Larson from the Victorian Eco Innovation Lab, who's done some really innovative work with local government and peak business bodies in Victoria and around Australia about working out how do we actually realistically do local food hubs and local food systems. So it's a really broad range of people, which is exciting.
Now, we're getting used to the notion of crowdfunding, where people put up money to get things off the ground. You're doing a crowd farming effort. Tell us about
that. So exciting. So crowd farming basically is a way of attracting urban growers and small farmers and donating their surplus produce to a cause. And so we're doing a crowd farming call out for the Food for Thought gathering and asking people to donate their surplus vegetables or fruits to feed over 100 people over the weekend. And it's been a really great response so far. So we just want to keep pushing it out there, encouraging people to engage in any way they can through crowdfunding.